Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. We are here to chat about the rest of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. And although we had originally planned to break off after Ardolus and then wrap up next time, we were just having too much fun, so we kind of just zipped through to the credits. And so we'll include another spoiler warning after talking about Ardolus, since if you've been following along with us, you maybe haven't completed the game quite yet. And we don't want to be spoiling anything without letting you know. That just wouldn't be fair. Okay, the obligatory reminder again, we do go into spoilers, so if you have not caught up, start at a previous episode and come back to this one once you're there. So while for a moment I considered going to Cordelion first to mix up the order of planets, in the top to bottom list, gathering the materials to power up the Dimensionator seemed to make more logical sense to figure out first rather than building it and then having nothing to do with it. And then reading on the box afterwards, batteries not included, kind of like the worst Christmas morning mistake you can make, also didn't seem like a great choice.
I went to Blazar Prime to
Oh.
find the phase quartz.
Well, it sure has seen better days, hasn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
When we arrive, it's been completely obliterated in that particular dimension, but you can fortunately hot swap between that and a still alive version of the planet in another dimension, which is great. And especially, I loved the slow-mo space jumping and mag boots usage.
Yeah, that was fun.
I mean, not particularly challenging, but still a
No.
nice little visual effect. Also, shooting while upside down kind of throws your head for a loop momentarily, which is fun too.
It does.
And so, you wander around there, you go pop between two dimensions, and of course, we finally reach the point where you take an elevator down and finally drill and dislodge the phase quartz. But the drill almost vaporizes Clank, so Rivet chooses him over the material we need. Seems to check out. We're heroes here. But now have to op aptly fi find the somebody named the Fixer to somehow refuse some quartz together.
Some quotes here. Yep.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. It's not a bad fight, too. When you get to the drill, you have all the goons, and then you fight a.
Yeah, it's one of those, get mobbed by a lot of enemies fights,
Yeah, and then
as
drop
so
the
many of
airship.
them are, but.
Yeah, and then the airship, which actually was a little bit harder. Not too bad.
Yeah,
But
nothing crazy. Still fun. Just
no,
kind of
definitely fun.
just fight them off. And you can, of course, still go to Cordelion, which is the option from before, but I went to Torin 4 next. What about you?
I went to Torin 4 as well to,
Yeah.
yeah, mend it, to go find the
So
fixer.
stick around as Rivet here, and Rusty Pete makes a return raiding the planet for resources. And you kind of wander, fight off some of Pete's goons and jump between a bunch of floating ships and all that. And then you finally reach the Fixer, who is a depressed version of that giant robot that you created for the Brotherhood of Steel in Fallout 4.
It, yes,
Did
exactly.
that
It
remind
did.
you of that
Yeah,
too?
it
I mean,
did
I only
remind
saw it
me of that.
in your screenshot of it, but
No, it definitely reminds me of that.
Complete with a giant laser beam out of its face.
Yeah.
And I think I also really liked the new hookshot ability. It's fun, despite there only being specific places you can use it. But getting that spinning around like a spindle and then launching is quite fun. And then you have this super awesome cinematic set piece where you're grinding rails while the robot's chasing you and firing lasers at you.
Yeah, that looks so good. It was, it
It
look,
looked it
yeah.
looks fantastic. I mean, yeah, graphically, I think the performance was, the technical performance was so good. It didn't really
Yeah,
stutter or anything, even on
no.
my base PS5. And I think I especially kind of just it, this was the most entertaining rail grind section
Oh, by
in the
far.
game, but
Yeah, oh,
hands
yeah.
down. Yeah.
Yeah, hands down. Yep. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
And then, of course, the Fixer predicts your movement a little bit and catches you, and it's about to crush you between its fingers. And Clank saves the day with his improvised appeal to the Fixer's true calling. And he has obviously multiple modes to his laser eye, so he's glad that he's able to fix something and instantly fixes the phase quartz.
Yep.
Oh, so simple.
Oh, very simple, yeah.
You just got to be a therapist to a giant robot in order to get what you want.
Yeah, basically, I think what does Clank tell him? He's like, I'm broken too. Is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah, but like, I've accepted it now. Yeah, because he's missing an arm.
Yeah,
arm and legs. If only we knew that from the start, we would have just mentioned it from the beginning.
I know. Yeah, but then we wouldn't have that.
No, you awesome can't miss out on
grind,
that.
Yeah, awesome grinding sequence.
And from here, obviously, I think the only option at this point is either go back to the Scarce Due Debris field just for the arena or go to Cordelion. So that's where I went. And it's a pretty idealistic beach environment
mm-hmm.
to start out, which was a shock. And until you swap dimensions and take the elevator down into Rapture.
Yes.
Like, even the music shifts into something like BioShock.
It kind of does. Yeah, you're
it
right.
Gives a little bit of that kind of creaky, creepy strings thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, obviously. BioShock is my number one game of all time. I did half expect a Big Daddy to walk around a corner. Of course, they're not going to get the rights to that. But it visually looked like that. There's jellyfish floating out the windows. So it would have been cool to have a little homage to that. But that's all right. You're kind of wandering through this underwater world, but I think there's even a point where you get to go outside too, under the ocean.
There is. Yes, you do. Yeah. You get to go outside. Yeah. I thought when we went outside, like something large was going to, either juice was going to come out, I think.
Yeah.
Or something else. Yeah. Something else or some, yeah, large creature was going to like swim over you.
That is true. I did expect that too.
Yeah. I also kept looking at the windows for something like that, too.
Yes. Like, they could have leaned really hard into the horror, but, or the suspense horror. That's quite fine, though. Did you do actually all the glitch sections throughout the game?
I did. Yes, I did all the glitch sections.
So, the glitch section here ended on an interesting note, creating kind of a more intriguing subplot, because the virus starts taunting her.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying see you next time if your luck keeps up, and it, of course it has like the actually I don't know, have you seen the TV show Loki?
I watched the first season of Loki.
Oh, okay. So there's that character Miss Minutes.
Yes.
And I feel like the virus here had a very similar voice to that, which was hilarious.
Okay, yeah, I can see. Yes, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, very much, I don't know, I'm a sucker for old-timey, overly polite, but not under-the-surface type voices.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it definitely set up kind of a, wow, what's really going on with this virus here, and I guess we'll touch on that in a sec, though.
Yeah.
As we move along through this underwater base, you start running away from Angry Juice, who's the giant reptilian, I guess it's a reptile monster. Then you get to a point where you can free an alternate dimension version of Juice, who was being used as a battery, and it starts to fight on our side. To fight the mini boss, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was nice. I will say before we get to that part, like the parts I did like that there was kind of like a little bit of survival type horror where you had to kind of sneak around.
Yeah, yeah. You can't do any damage to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be
open platforms, open doors.
Use like the distraction nectar stuff to. Yeah, that was definitely quite a lot of fun. I used the gravity boots to, the turbo boots. Is that what they called?
Oh yeah.
To get through there as fast as I could. There were a couple moments where I got through the door in like the nick of time. I had to dodge through it as it was closing.
Same.
But, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I think this might, as a whole, this might have been my favorite level in the game.
Okay.
Maybe. There's a couple other contenders.
There's a couple other, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a great experience overall, and you free the other juice and bring it back to the other dimension and help power up the generator. Obviously, the juice, the angry juice and the happy juice kind of just chill after they meet. So good for us.
It's kind of like they're a couple. don't know, husband wife.
Like, it's either that or they're like the Rivet and Ratchet thing where they're just, you know, best buddies. We'll never know. I don't think I need to think too much into that. What it does do, though, is allow us to recreate the Dimensionator. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder where the schematics came from, or if this building, like, if the sole purpose of this building and entire complex is just to create the Dimensionator, because it's almost instant and he didn't put anything in there. He just hit a button and it's there. Like, what if it made a different weapon or something completely different?
I guess, I don't know.
I guess the phase quartz
Yeah, phase quartz, I guess, is only used for one thing.
Sure. Maybe. Sure. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
When you arrive back to the scarcity debris fields from near, the Lombaxes and robots reunite, and you pull a robot swap. So Clank is back on Ratchet's back, and Kit is on Rivet's. Once you walk into the bar, though, you're immediately surrounded by Dr. Nefarious's minions. He, of course, steals the Dimensionator, but Rivet stands up to him and tackles him into the arena, where you engage in an interdimensional boss fight that brings you all over the place before finally beating him.
Mm-hmm.
And Emperor Nefarious finally shows up.
Yes.
And boy, oh boy, is he so much better than the Doctor, at least in terms of being capable of actually doing something.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But it's also...
It's
a different voice actor, too, by the way.
It's a totally different voice actor.
Which is great to lend kind of that very different air to just overall the personalities of the two of them.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to look it up. I was curious on who... I didn't look it up of, like, who the... Oh, okay. I just looked it up of who the voice is for Emperor Nefarious.
Uh-huh. Is it someone you know?
Yes. He's Robin Atkin Downs. He's done Uncharted. He's done a whole bunch of voices on other things. Yeah. He's been in a lot of games.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I think last time I mentioned that, the Dr. Nefarious is voiced by the same guy that voiced Andrew Ryan in Bioshock.
Yes.
And that's a completely different type of voice, so...
Yeah.
Hey, all these voice actors are very talented.
Oh, they are very, definitely. He's okay. That's funny. Yeah. I was like, I listened to, I was like, I slightly recognize his voice and now. Yeah.
Now it all clicks.
Yeah.
And so the two finally met versions of Nefarious bail out to Sargasso to anger Rivet into helping her allies. Meanwhile, Ratchet has to go warn Captain Quantum, who, by the name, of course, is going to be the alternate version of Captain Quark. Mm-hmm. But he's the last rebel on Emperor Nefarious's hit list because he's already captured everyone else. And to do so, we have to enlist the aid of Pierre, who is on Ardolis. And of course, he's incompetent enough to be mutinied by his own crew. And when you arrive on the planet, they're about to execute him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think Pierre Lefebvre is probably like my favorite name of the character in the game. I don't know. It just I don't know.
The very punny names for everything.
Yeah.
Well done. So I just a quick kind of break towards the gameplay. So I had just unlocked the cold snap ice cube weapon.
Yep.
At this point. And so I used it a bit here in those kind of little hills leading into the area and was expecting that it would just stun the pirates like any other stun weapon, like disable them from attacking all that. But a couple just slid right off the edge of the hill to their doom.
To their doom. Yeah.
That was fun.
I had that. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I had that a couple times too.
And so I tried, whenever I saw any kind of scenario like that, I started using the cold snap weapon for that reason in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when they're on flat ground and you freeze them and then go smash them with the hammer or wrench and they just explode is also great.
Yes. That was a fun weapon to use.
Yeah, it was definitely a good time. When you get over to the central area where Pierre's being, you know, hung upside down, you find that the pirates have a pet kraken. I want one of those.
Yeah, I know. It does, I know. Very, and I love, again, that it's summoned with, like, the bell.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. Yeah. It's very much like, isn't it the same way? Oh, no, never mind. In Pirates of the Caribbean, it was that thud down on the ship. It would drop like a large, yeah. But I like, I don't know. I just love seeing like a kraken in there. I mean, it's just typical like pirate lore. You think pirates and then you think kraken.
you think pirates and then you think kraken. Or you think medieval, you know, what's it called? Or like fantasy generally, you think kraken. Yeah, good stuff. After you save Pierre, he tells you where Captain Quantum is. And so we got to go to Skull Mountain, which you see right from the beginning of the landing on the planet, and do the pirate trials. And funny enough, the trials are just some attractions at a theme park and essentially just mini games for the most part.
They kind of are, yeah. I enjoyed this. This is probably, I don't know, I think this might have been my favorite like planet and just to do. Okay. I don't know. I love the pirate theme. I thought it was funny with the pirate trials and it being a theme park. And
That was great. And it definitely like leaned hard into the Pirates of the Caribbean references and with, especially with the part where you're fighting when you're on this kind of big lake in the cave and there's imprisoned pirates and all of that, you know. I guess you can't avoid doing that. So it had to be done.
No, it was fun. The first trial is a sea shanty, which is just a ridiculous.
It's a sea shanty. It's really just a slight variation on a basic memory game straight out of Mario Party. But it's a good time. You know, they have some randomly modern but funny dialogue. And, you know, I think even better was the second trial is great because it's a fight against a Grunthor who is long dead and just fossils by now.
And just fossils, yep.
And then right in that same room, actually, there's another glitch section here, and she's talking to herself about the fact that Ratchet thinks it's just a regular old computer virus, not the sentient whatever it is. And I kind of wondered at this point why she doesn't tell him, and was wondering what will come of that side plot, because I was very intrigued by this point. And I'll, spoiler alert, was a little let down by the end to it, but we'll get there soon. You finally reach Captain Quantum, who, is Captain Quark, who's masquerading as the pirate captain.
Wearing, like, a bucket on his head.
Yeah, he's got a bucket on his head with some paint on it to resemble the robot crew. And then he's, you know, not wearing it when they show up out of nowhere, and they think he murdered the real captain. So they didn't realize they've been duped and thought he just came in to kill them. And because of that, there's a battle across the pirate ships, and you eventually defeat and escape them by ringing that same bell for Bubbles, the Kraken.
For Bubbles.
To have its dinner.
Yeah, this was definitely, I enjoyed this. All the fights in this and enjoyed the pirate themes. And
It's set piece after set piece with a little break for some comedy in between in multiple spots. It's very well designed overall. It's a really good, like, if you had to get someone to just play a single level of this game, it'd be a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
The Emperor Nefarious, of course, shows up and starts sucking up the whole ship you're on, but Quantum decides on a career change to be like the hero version in Ratchet's dimension instead of a pirate, and throws our heroes to safety while being sucked up himself. So he's gone. Did you, at this point, have any new favorite weapons by now, two-thirds into the game?
Let's see.
Obviously, we've finished it, so there's maybe a little bit of cutoff point here. I guess I will say that I still was loving my topiary sprinkler and Negatron Collider combo with Mr. and Mrs. Fungi as support. But at this point, I had been using those since the beginning, but also had started mixing into my rotation the Drill Hound, which is just a drill that barks can go underground, but usually just fly straight at the enemy. The lightning rod is a lot of fun.
The lightning rod was definitely, that was a good one. If you upgraded that and you can like chain it and electrocute enemies, chaining, it was really
good. It was good. My go-to whenever there was a mob of smaller enemies. Yep.
That one was a fun one.
Because they would all just get vaporized very quickly. And yeah. I liked, I don't know if you used much, but I liked the ricochet.
I did not use it very much at all.
I liked it when I was one-on-one with someone because you can just kind of stun lock them, essentially, if you get the timing on each consecutive hit. But then it wasn't fast enough to be useful elsewhere. So I didn't use it all that much, but I used it a little bit in this segment.
Okay.
And then I was, you know, of course, started using the cold snap here and there, but mostly when my other stun weapons ran out of ammo, not as my primary.
Yeah.
I also just had picked up the sniper rifle, which sounded cool because you can slow down time and, you know, zoom in and take the shot. But you're never really all that far away from enemies in this game, except more towards the end. And they're able to hit you from far enough away to stun you while aiming. So I kind of just didn't use it much overall.
Oh, okay. Once I got that, I used that a lot. I got that fully upgraded, I think, by the time the end of the game.
Oh, but okay.
I used it a lot of, for far away enemies, getting the headshots. Because on a lot of enemies, if you headshotted them, it was a one shot, which is why it's called the Headhunter.
Yeah. I think obviously I didn't upgrade it enough. I put as much many upgrades as I could into it, but I still just didn't love it by the end.
No. A lot of it, though, like, I'm so used to it, like, from playing, like, Overwatch and other games like that, where in third-person view and I don't have to zoom in, and I can kind of aim it onto their head and just shoot without having to zoom. Just hip fire.
I hear you.
Because a big game like this is not going to be like Call of Duty, where you're hit by a sniper and it's going somewhere else, or Battlefield.
Yep.
Here, it's like, if your crosshair is on it, it's going to hit it.
It's a hit, yeah. It's like, there's a word for that, a technical word for it, that I forget the name of.
Yeah, but I like that gun.
It's basically like, if your crossfire's on it, it's an instant contact. It doesn't actually like measure the distance you are away.
Yeah.
It's just an auto.
Yeah.
I think it's called Hit Scan, maybe.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody. another thing, have you noticed that as you fill it in, the skill trees for the weapon ends up showing a depiction of that weapon, like a little picture of it?
Oh, no. I don't think I really paid that close attention. Oh, really?
Huh. You know, it's funny. It's clever. It's unnecessary.
It is clever.
But
yeah.
Clever and a nice nod to the fact that the devs are thinking about all these minor inconsequential UX UI details. You gotta love that.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think when I first filled in, I of course upgraded, maxed out the topiary sprinkler first, and it looks like the head of a sprinkler. The shapes that, because they're all different shapes, so you start to the cold snap looks like a snowflake or whatever and all that kind of thing. So they kind of mimic what they do. Is it useful for anything? No, not more than just a laugh, but I like it. And also going back to our chat last week about the adaptive triggers on the DualSense being applied really nicely in Rift Apart, I also came to appreciate them even more this week, since having that effect apply while shooting, you also notice a distinct difference when you run out of ammo. And so it's this wonderful, subtle little cue in case you didn't realize in half a second on screen that you aren't firing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Did you switch over to using L2R2?
Yes, there were a couple times I caught myself going back, but mainly I'd switched over and just was using the actual triggers. And it was
enjoy it mostly.
Yeah, there was definitely a difference. Yeah, it definitely helped. Especially because most of the guns have the like pull halfway, and then so it was definitely more helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, just for random notes about minor details, I was scrolling the menus after finishing that section and came across the ability to change the appearance of the bolts to a couple of different things. And just for fun, switched it to an energy drink called Overcharge, which must have appeared at some point in the past of this series. I turned it off pretty quickly because it was visually kind of obnoxious, and switched it over to the rubies from Zelda. That was fun.
Okay. Yeah, I had seen, I found that bits in the menu, but I didn't
it was
change yeah, anything, I mean, but I saw.
It's, you know, mostly just a way to kind of visually switch it up, mm-hmm. especially in some of the backgrounds, the bolts end up kind of blending in a little bit. So it was like the rubies were just this rainbow of things exploding out of enemies. So I started using that for a while. Good. It also reminds me this feature of Dead Cells, too, where you can swap to have the health boosts or the health items you can get be like the random food sitting on the ground in Castlevania, or there are many, many homages in Dead Cells, but that's one that I liked a lot because you can switch it to food, or you can switch it to like a health potion or other things like that. So okay. It's cool to just be able to visually switch some of these things.
Yeah.
Now, we had not originally included the Return to Sargasso for this time, so at this point, we will take a brief pause and provide that halfway point spoiler warning that from here on out, we'll be talking about Sargasso on through the ending.
Mm-hmm.
On Sargasso, you engage in some standard fair combat on the way to a puzzle dimension with Kit, and then find out that Kit's story about attacking a rebel as a warbot and then feeling remorseful for it was actually the same when Rivet loses her arm. And now they're becoming friends. Kind of funny how things shake out.
Yep.
And it ends up biting Kit in the, well, I suppose in the arm a little bit later.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But they kind of slow roll the reveals here related to that story. So somewhat interesting by the end. Emperor Nefarious realizes success doesn't equal happiness because he won, so he comes to the totally logical conclusion of conquering all dimensions, not just his, and goes in search of the dimensional map. Arriving at the archives on Savali as Ratchet and Clank to get to it before he does, we are too late and find undead goons alongside robots waiting for us.
Yep.
Those
undead ones were pretty easy.
They were pretty easy, but they did, like, I used the shield. I don't know, I was close up enough to them, and I tried to use the shield weapon for a bit, and melee attacks go through it. So, you know, turned that off quickly. Ended up not using the shield all that much, except as a shotgun occasionally.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Rivet and Kit are close behind and catch up to the Emperor's flagship, so rather than retracing our steps on Savali and going through all the temples or something like that, we're on a giant spaceship above the planet.
That was cool going through Nefarious's spaceship.
Which is surprising. You don't like even run into him there, but you catch up with what was the guy's name? Gary the prophet, Gary or the whatever,
the monk.
I guess both can be true.
He's lead monk.
There it is.
Top monk.
The final glitch section happens right before truly entering the catacombs from the giant hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from killing off the virus, it's pretty anticlimactic. I this is where I was a little disappointed, because they had hinted at it being something like a lot deeper and darker, which I guess you can't go too dark in this kind of story, but it would have been a perfect moment for a rogue AI story trying to take over the world from the inside kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I see that as a tiny missed opportunity. I mean, it could even, you know, they could have taken that concept and created a spin-off game out of it. But hey, I guess I don't work at Insomniac for a reason. After going through the final Clank puzzle to deal with the cataclysm and find the dimensional map, you come to consciousness again, and Nefarious has Ratchet literally by the neck, steals the map, and drops you into the Zordum prison. And then, of course, Kit, despite knowing it will ruin her new friendship, transforms into Mega Kit again. That's my official name for it now.
Mega Kit.
And goes to fight Nefarious, revealing to Rivet that it was her all along, even if she has turned a new leaf. Now, just before Kit is about to pound the Emperor, Dr. N manages to send Kit to the prison too. So, you know, obviously we're off as solo Rivet now.
Yep.
to break people out of prison. And she's clearly hinted at having been there before. So gets to it nice and quick. I did like on this planet, there are a couple sections where you have to kind of hack something, or at least use some programming to get a platform to you or what have you. And I liked that the haptics kick in really nicely here when Rivet types on a keyboard.
Okay, like, yeah.
It felt pretty damn close to actually typing on a mechanical keyboard, honestly. I was impressed by that because it was pretty subtle. And busting everyone out of Zardoom prison gives us a chance to have Rivet team up with Clank again, just for old slash new time's sake. It was also fun to have all your previous enemies fighting alongside you as a Lombax, Swarbot, Goons, Pirates army.
Yeah, that was... when they're all fighting everything, I started fighting, like, trying to fight everybody, and then I realized, like, I'm not doing any damage to the Pirates or the Goons or anything, so obviously they're on my side.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. The one thing, though, is there are a couple corridors in this section, and I, of course, here decided to try the sniper rifle again, and you're so short, and some of these Goons are so tall... They would get in the way, and I'd hit them in the back of the head and not do any damage. And so I, again, switched off the sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun times. Before, you liberate everyone, you get back to Zerky's bar. Before the point of no return, you can listen in on Ratchet and Clank chatting over a drink.
Oh.
Did you notice that? They're in the corner, kind of to the right of the arena computer. Okay. And it was, I didn't notice it for a sec because it was just like a random robot and I had whatever kind of more metallic, scary looking armor on Ratchet as the armor at that point. So I had a double take. And then I saw the subtitles saying, oh, this is Clank's voice. I realized it was them. but it's funny to see these characters, A, just chilling for once, and B, from an outside perspective, because obviously this series so far has been just controlling them.
Yeah.
You decide to go and chase him down. Obviously, Emperor Nefarious does Dr. Nefarious a solid by invading his home dimension. What a good partner in crime he is. So obviously we can't let that happen, and it's time to take them out once and for all. Now, there's kind of some writing on the wall here that Dr. Nefarious would join our side temporarily. With being betrayed and this being a story more in line with Saturday morning cartoons with moral messages and things to learn from and whatnot. So I'm glad that came to pass right in the nick of time at the ending. They're helping Bubbles dislodge the Emperor's hands from what he's holding on to before promptly getting crushed by a spaceship. Classic Dr. Nefarious.
Classic.
But thanks for the help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What did you think of the final boss fight and its many, many phases?
I liked it. It was fun. It was a little bit difficult. There's also a couple of times where I was kind of dumb and like I got sometimes terrible at timing the lasers that shot out. I don't know why.
I think they did that on purpose. Had a bit of an off timing to it where he would charge it up and then you would think he's going to charge it up a little bit longer, but he just kind of whips it across.
Yep.
So I got caught by that a number of times too. And I was able, because of Souls-like games, I'm good at dodging like the thing where he dashes straight at you.
Yes.
But the ones where he would summon up a giant boulder and launch it, I got hit by quite a bit as well.
Oh, yeah. More towards the end? Yes. That was...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... So I also got annoyed at the first part where you're on the platform shooting like his giant...
Yes, so there's
giant, like eyes and arm.
This boss fight has it all. It's really like a combination of all gameplay features because there's a dragon chase for a brief couple moments. There's some platforming, fighting the giant robot with TV screens for eyes, obviously. That doesn't really make any sense to me, but of course, see the robot's very far away, and instead of going to it, it sticks its head and arms through the rifts.
Through, like, the rifts, which was cool.
Which was cool. I mean, it was a cool effect, yeah.
Yeah. But I on that part, I got him down because I forgot. It stops and changes at, actually, I think you have to get him down to zero there for health to then, because you destroy it. And I had him down to like 14%, and I was running back and forth, and I just ran off the platform on the edge.
Oh, yeah. No, the very first time
I had to restart before, at 75%.
It takes some time. Oh, really? So, geez, that's a lot.
It went back up.
It takes some time when you land on that platform and the fight starts. It takes a while. I don't know how long exactly, but before he actually puts his head or his arms through. And so I saw the enemies pop out on the sort of elevated platform with a rift to go up there. And so I went up there immediately, obviously, because I thought it was just the next enemy section. Mm-hmm. And then I fell right off the edge. Instead of jumping back to the main platform, I just fell right off the edge.
Yeah.
That was early on, though, so fortunately I didn't have to restart from 75. No, I started from 100.
I was at like 14%, and then it starts you back at 75. I was like,
And I was, I had run through most of my sniper ammo, my Negatron collider, my rocket launcher, the warmonger, and then because it was on the on a new tab, which was three tabs in, but was the only weapon there, I completely forgot I had the, what's it called? The Gatling gun, essentially.
The Gatling gun, yeah.
And so I just realized that I had this is perfect. I need like a long distance, high damage weapon. And so I pulled that out and finished him off. Robot, obviously.
I think I did the same in the end. There's the warmonger.
The warmonger is great. And especially once you get the unlock for homing rockets, missiles. So great. There's some rail grinding. I don't know where in that point it is, but then you end up going through a rift into the heart of the robot. Again, don't ask me why there's a heart in a robot. but that fight was kind of just, you get swarmed and have to dodge the same old side swiping laser beam, very constantly.
That was section for me. Like, I threw out the topiary on there to help with some of the enemies and the fungus guys.
Section and the last section, I was very much using all of the supports.
Yeah, they helped take down health too.
To take health, to distract, to whatever. Yep. You know, I always use a topiary, but I also had the mushrooms. I had the, what is it called? The Glove of Doom that sends out the mini Zircons.
Yep, those are good. That was good.
And there's also the one that I forget the name of. That's like a drone that launches missiles from above.
Oh, the Bombardier.
The Bombardier, yeah. So I pulled out every time that they run out. I would just pull out four more, like one of each, and then keep launching with whatever high damage weapon. But it was a fun. I mean, it was a fun little kind of distraction being in the heart.
It was.
And then you end up right, and Kit shows up to help. Because Emperor Nefarious calls in the entire army from all dimensions, and Kit's able to just single-handedly take out most of them, and you just got to fight Nefarious. There's a couple distractions, but it was a good fun fight overall. I almost died, and then I got to like a section of that phase where another health box would pop up, and I'd sprint turbo boots over there. But yes, at the end of the day, when you betray everyone, you're not going to get any help anymore. And so Emperor Nefarious calls on his army and nobody shows. So good timing for our crew to pop in. and yes, as mentioned, Bubbles is the hero of the story and the credits roll.
Yep.
Before they go to drop off Rivet and Kit back in their dimension, Ratchet proposes they take a pit stop on the way. Of course, implying that would be whatever dimension the Lombax population is living in. I suppose it wasn't necessary, but I kind of would have liked to see them revisiting that planet and maybe having a moment of closure and catharsis there, since that's really the whole reason we went through this whole adventure to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would have been nice.
I suppose they'll save that for the next game, or just find ways to keep prolonging the ability to go do that. because that creates some conflict they can create more stories out of. I am curious, though, what comes next in the next game with both Nefarii, as Rivet called them at one point, since they're both at least temporarily out of the picture. You know, that the end credits showed Dr. Nefarius retiring, essentially, and Emperor Nefarius is who knows where. But
who knows? Some dimension.
This was successful enough of a game that I'm sure they will make another, and I'm curious to see where it goes.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay, so you mentioned to me on the side when we were scheduling this recording session that you platinumed this game.
I did platinum it, yep.
Tell me about that decision overall and the trophy cleanup process. Was it worth it?
So, I guess it depends. I mean, I was pretty close by the end of the game of a few things. I mean, I platinumed it. Luckily for platinum, you don't have to get like all the bolts. Like you don't have to get all 25 gold bolts. I think in the end I had,
good. I was expecting you only had to do 5
total, which okay. I got early on. I think I got 20 total, maybe 21, just finding them.
Yeah. So when you mentioned it, I looked at the trophy list and saw there's something called a McCrager or something, a type of robot or a bear. Sorry, a bear.
And the Krager bear. Yeah.
I think I saw a single one. I think I actually gathered a couple of them, but I don't know how to find them or any of that. So I only had 5 by the end out of, I think it's maybe 10 or 20.
It's 9. It's only 9. It's 9 total.
Anyway, I don't know where those things are, and I didn't visually recognize them either.
Yeah, they're in random locations. You would see, if you saw, you could see and say it's like a teddy bear. But by the end, by the time I got to close to the last, actually, before I got to, where were we? Viseron, I think I had 7 out of 9. So I went back, I missed the first one on Coruscant 5. So I went back and got that. It was very simple. So that was at 8. And I can't remember. Is the last one? I think the last one. No, the last one I think is on. Yeah, the last one is on Viseron. Viseron in one of the cells. Yeah. Mm. Once you let people free, if you go back into the cell, there's a little bear.
Yeah, I grabbed some Ruritanium and something else in one of and a gold bolt in one of those. But so that I didn't see that.
That wasn't too bad. I was close to that, so I was like, I'll do that. The glitch one, I just finished naturally. I just did all the glitch puzzles I've got.
I had those that already done.
Yeah. That one wasn't too bad. The all weapons one was a little more difficult, so you have to get all the spy bots to get the Rhino 8.
Oh, that's the weapon. I only had 5 out of 10 spy bots by the end.
Yeah, so I had the last one is in the gold. Oh, in the gold battle cup. So after you get to some point, it's after Viseron or whatever. Yeah, before you get to the end game, if you go back in to the battle thing, it unlocks gold. So I didn't have to finish all of silver to get the gold. So I only had 2 completed on silver and it unlocked gold. And so I was like, I'm just going to try for the 1 spy bot one. I got it done. And that was it. And I got the trophy for completing a gold cup challenge. And that was, I think, my 10th spy bot. So, yeah, then I got the Rhino 8. But that is not all the weapons in the game.
It's not? What else is left after that?
So after that, for all weapons, you have to start a new game under challenge mode or whatever. And then, as you go and get to Miss Zircon, she has a weapon called the Bouncer and something else that you can buy. And then that's all the weapons.
That's in the tutorial section still, though?
It's close to the beginning. I had to play a little bit further on into the new challenge mode because I then had to do that. The hardest one in my last trophy was the Void Reacher, where you have to kill 10 enemies with the shield, shooting shots back at them, their own shots. That was because you have to get the void. Is it the Void Reacher, right, or whatever, up to level 5? So you have to fully max it out to even unlock the ability to catch projectiles to shoot back.
I was gonna say I don't recall that ability within the weapon, so I didn't.
Yeah, no, I fully upgraded it right at the end of the actual game. I didn't get a chance, and so I had to play on, and it took a while because then I had fun because it sort of glitches on you where there would be times where you have the shield up and somebody puts two shots into you and it goes from 100% power to zero instant. And so I like have to like quit the game and restart. And then I was like Googling it and they're like, yeah, it's a glitch where sometimes it just, it works normally and then it just doesn't. So
that's no fun.
No, it took me a little bit. I had to go back in. That was the last trophy I got. Once I got that, I was like, oh, thank God. I'm done. But the rest of them, yeah, the rest of them, I was like pretty close. It was not much cleanup for me.
Well, that, you know, this is what, a 3D platformer shooter. They don't call them collectathons for nothing.
No. So.
So, okay. Well, it sounds like you mostly enjoyed that.
I did. I didn't enjoy finishing the platinums.
Do you have now?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Too many to count. Yeah. I think 30 maybe? Less. Oh, Jesus. I have like 9 maybe. And I think one's a duplicate from PS4 to PS5.
Oh, no. So. Maybe I don't. I don't know how many I have. I'm not doing it for every game. It's just for this. I was literally two or three trophies away, which was the get all weapons and then the void and maybe one other. Yeah. And that was it. And so I was like, I'll just,
Okay.
But
good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, it's time for the bookend. Now that we've played Rift Apart, how does it compare to your expectations from our pre-playthrough episode at the start of the season?
It met it. I actually really enjoyed it. It was one of those games where it was difficult in some parts. There were a few times I died in some of these fights and all that, but it was a fun game. It was one of those ones where, as I said, I platinumed it, but I was able to just like play and do the extra stuff.
Sit once back
I
got and into enjoy it.
I sat back and enjoyed it. I wish the story was a little bit better. The story was good. I liked it. I thought it was also quite funny. I liked a lot of the jokes, the back and forth. I thought the writing was really good. As you said, I do wish that we had seen something about Lombaxes in another dimension, especially after doing, like, you find all the Lombax Orb, the Lords or whatever they're called.
The Lords of Savali. Yeah, that was, I wanted to know more about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because there's that guy that I forget the name of, it's not Max, but something with an M. I want to say, hopefully they explore that in the next game, right? Like, go find the dude and see where that goes.
Yeah.
But
no, I enjoy it. It lived up to my expectations. Okay. It even did better in my expectations of how it looked and played.
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was going to look and play well, but it was on a different some of the screenshots and everything, I was like, this is incredible. Like, this looks so good.
Yeah, it's so much more than a tech demo, isn't it? Even though, yes, it also goes above and beyond excelling at being a tech demo. You know, it's just a great installment in the Ratchet and Clank series.
Yeah.
You know, it felt very similar to the previous one from 2016 in terms of gameplay and in terms of visual, but this is just a huge leap in the visual aspect of it and how certain things worked. And I didn't mention this specifically in our expectations episode because I think it was more of a subconscious expectation that I've had since I first saw the reveal trailer years ago than anything that I ever sat down and actually put thought into. But looking back at the experience and the early trailers for the game, I thought I was expecting the technology to be so powerful that we would be full on dimension or planet swapping practically on command. So something
I
like,
get what you mean. Yep.
The rift tether to pull us to a ledge or behind enemies, but that dimension's actually in another dimension, not just behind the enemy.
Yeah.
Or that levels would have us start on one planet, go through a dimensional rift, and then end up on another planet as part of the story. And what we got that's closest to that were the couple moments of, you know, falling through the sky through dimensions was just all in cutscenes, which is fine. And obviously makes the most sense, technical perspective and probably many others, just logistics. But we also had that one planet which switched dimensions to very different versions of the same planet. So I'll count it, even if it's not exactly what I thought.
No, I understand. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought I'd throw that out there since that's kind of what I had expected from the get-go was like, we can be in a completely different place on a completely different planet. Even if it's just a scripted, like, this is where you got to go next. Anyway, I would probably rate this an 8 out of 10 overall. Thought it was a great, solid game, just kind of pure fun without too much nonsense. Funny, technical wonder, a decent amount of depth, and amazing weapon variety, even if some of them were just odd variations of regular guns.
Yeah.
I also like that it doesn't take itself too seriously, which should frankly be done more often in video games. Dead Cells, like I mentioned earlier, also gives me this vibe where the silent protagonist player character just shrugs when weird things happen. So that game is somewhat brutally hard by comparison, but the irreverence is felt in a similar way to Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Only ran into a single game bug that didn't break the game and lasted about one full second. So no complaints there. As you mentioned, it also ran as a dream. And as Leva said on the PS Portal, it did as well. So gotta love that.
That's good. That's really good that it did run that well also on the PS Portal.
Yeah.
Because
some of them do stutter or stagger a little bit. And a lot of it's based on your internet connection. But, you know, the fact that it can handle that visually on such a small and thin screen is still kind of a modern technical wonder, if you ask me. What would you rate it?
8.5 out of 10. Yeah, definitely. There was a little more maybe to the story and all that.
It was a little lackluster, but I mean, that's I suppose I forgive it that a little bit based on the fact that the audience seems to be more like that, you know, Disney or morning cartoon kind of vibe.
But yeah, no, otherwise it was a really fun game. I really enjoyed my time at Ratchet and Clank. It kind of makes me want to go back because I haven't played some of the older ones.
So at some point, yes. Maybe. And there are many, many of the older ones
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's an opportunity.
Yep.
Just add it to the long backlog.
Exactly.
As far as parting thoughts go, one thing I want to note, because we usually talk about this in our seasons and haven't this time, the soundtrack here is lackluster, to say the least. I originally wanted to make a comment about how Instagram is doing us a disservice by not having any music from Rift Apart available at all for our post here. It only has the 2016 Ratchet and Clank music in there.
Uh-huh.
But it turned into an oh well from me, because while this music soundtrack is totally fine and serviceable, it's really just the stock standard whimsical Disney Pixar backing tracks, so nothing to write home about.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even really
notice
it. Really stood out or notice.
So. Exactly, which after all of the, not every last one, but a majority of the games we played through for this podcast, a majority of them have great music, and so it sticks out for that reason.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing that I noted too is that there are so many support summon weapons in Rift Apart, and I love summoning builds in games, but since most don't have more than a couple options, I didn't expect so many of them to be here, and probably overly upgraded the ones you get access to early on. You know, between the Topiary Sprinkler, Mr. Fungi and Miss Fungal, Glove of Doom, Bombardier. I mean, I cycled through them and used them all just because they were all great, but I wish I knew that I was going to get those earlier on so I could upgrade them sort of simultaneously. What other parting thoughts do you have, if any?
Not too many more. I really enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah. It definitely is a great game for weapon variety. And that's how they've marketed themselves since way back when. So I'm glad they stick to that. So, everyone, what did you think of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart? Let us know on Discord. In addition to that, tune in next time to find out which game Season 12 of the Gaming Backlog Book Club will be about. Or join our Discord for a preview.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, following along here with Ratchet and Clank. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. It was a good time. And look forward to continuing on with our next game. So thank you, everybody. Have a good one. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of many games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name. Thanks.